With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Gary Bredefeld says he'll be taking on incumbent Steve Brandow for the supervisor's seat in County Board District 2.
We need fighters. We need people who are going to stand up and lead. I've been doing that for 6 years, fighting all the radical, woke, leftist, socialist people who are trying to destroy our community.
We reached out to Supervisor Brandow earlier today, but have not heard back.
People aren't regulated.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Would you come my
way? Chavez telling us today he's running for the 3rd County District against his former boss, current County Supervisor Sal Quintero. Incumbent Sal Quintero says he'll run to hold on to the District 3 seat in 2024. He says Chavez never told him he would oppose him. Chavez was Quintero's chief of staff for years when he sat on the Fresno City Council. When Quintero ran for the Board of Supes, Chavez took his seat on the City Council by winning a special election.
Fresno County Board of Supervisors are going to sue candidate City Council member Luis Chavez and candidate for the Board of Supervisors, the man in studio, City Councilman Gary Bredefeld. I'd like to be sued again.
I'm getting used to it.
Well, let's try and explain to everybody out there what's going on here.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'll even say as a talk host, when it comes to campaign finance reform, we hear headlines, we hear all this, we hear this limit, that limit, but it's kind of in the weeds, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's jump into those weeds. Sure. You have announced, city council member, you're running for the Board of Supervisors, and when you were running for city council, you've been on there a couple times. You get money and you don't spend it all. Pick it up from right there.
Well, you try to raise money. Obviously, when you're running for office on any level, you have to have money in order to buy TV and buy flyers and walk, and you have to raise money. And so we do. And so I obviously have raised money. I have in my city council account about $228,000, and I want to move that over to the supervisor race. This is done every day as long as the amount of money that you move from individual contributions that you have in there, and I have none that are more than $4,900 per individual, because
so
that's what
the cap.
That's the cap at the city.
City council.
Now, the cap at the county is $30,000. So you can, an individual, why they would want to donate, that's another question. But $30,000, you can donate $30,000. So every individual contribution that I want to transfer is no more than $4,900. This is done every day where other people run for other offices. But the county, led by Mr. Brandow, says, whoa, your whole campaign account can't be transferred because you have more than $30,000 in it. You can only transfer $30,000 from your campaign account. So all those individual contributors, anything beyond $30,000 you can't bring. It is bogus. And this is an effort to try to create more protections for the incumbents that are there, give them more leverage than they already have. It's un-American. It's unconstitutional. It's wrong. They're in error. And they cite their ordinance, which doesn't even mention transferring money. And so they're threatening to sue me to stop me from doing that.
Okay, that ordinance you're talking about, that's the one in 2020 that they all voted on and said there's no wording in that that has anything about transferring.
The word's not mentioned. The word is not mentioned.
Now, let's say in your city council campaign, Big Daddy Freddie Farmer wrote you a $50,000 check, which he couldn't.
Couldn't.
But, I mean, even if anything that was transferred, well, okay, this doesn't even apply because their limit is so much higher than yours.
The $30,000 at the county. But if I ran for Congress, the Congress limit is, I believe, $2,900. So all the donors, if I had, let's say, $4,900, I could only transfer $2,900 of that.
That was my question. Okay, yes. So that makes sense. So,
but here at the county, it's $30,000. And, of course, you can transfer all of it because at the city, the limit's $4,900. So they're making up their own rules. In an effort, I call it an incumbent protection scheme. It's a scheme to try to restrict those of us who are going to take on those incumbents. And I'm going to take on Steve Brandow, and he should be taken on. But they're trying to, you know, rig the game. It won't work. I'm never going to back down, not from Steve Brandow, not from radicals, not from any of them, because I'm a fighter for the people, and I'm going to make change at the county.
Now, this almost sounds like Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin all getting together. You, Chavez, Miguel Arias, and the Fresno Bee agree that this is not fair political move.
You're absolutely right. It's never a common occurrence where I agree with those folks all together, but they do.
Can we get a picture of all you guys together, the moment that you all agreed? We got to mark this one in history.
The Fresno Bee has done an editorial that says this is, in fact, an incumbent protection scheme these guys are doing, and they're exactly right. So kudos to the Bee for doing it right and getting it right.
All right. Now, this lawsuit that is gone here, do we know how long this is going to take, and are you... halted or you're frozen your account? No. You can't spend it?
We've already transferred the money. The money's been transferred. And see, that's the pathetic thing. They have not even seen one financial form from me yet. They're basing this on the fact that I've said publicly I'm transferring the money. So rather than waiting until I've even done it to see if I've done it, to see the financial forms, which none of them have been, they have seen none of them because you don't have to publicly file them yet. They're attempting to stop me from doing this simply based on my words, simply based on Councilmember Chavez's words. Okay. I mean, it's pathetic.
Now, Brandow and Quintero, the supervisors, they recused themselves, meaning stepped aside from this vote like Soria right. always had to do with sure. Granite Park and all that went on here. Now, the rest of the board voted on this, but I've heard that there's been some uproar over... Supervisor Magsig, right? Because he might be running again, so his vote actually plays into the election.
The fact is, Supervisor Magsig is running at the same time I'm running and Brandow is running.
Has he announced that?
He said it to people all over the place. He's not going to deny he's running for his seat, and yet he voted to file this lawsuit, in a sense, to stop us from doing this. So he benefits from this. He should have recused himself just as those two did.
Well, then Hemi would be around to vote.
They would not have had a quorum. So it wouldn't have been able to move forward. So Magsig voted for his own self-serving interest, which is why people recuse themselves. Brandow recused himself. Quintero recused himself. And Magsig, he's up the same time we are. He's running the same way we are. And he still voted for this thing. And if he says, well, I voted because nobody publicly announced against me, that's not the rule. You don't get to make up your own rules, even though that's what they're doing at the county.
And I guess this lawsuit... I'm working right now to help pay for this, right?
That's right. The taxpayers, this has never been done before where government officials, politicians have weaponized their counsels, their attorneys with the use of taxpayer money. You're paying for this right now. That taxpayer money that's supposed to go for critical services to provide to the people is now being used by county council to weaponize them and file a lawsuit against challengers who are trying to unseat incumbents. It's never been done before. It's a horrible precedent. And these board members, including Brandow, should be ashamed of themselves. This is disgraceful, it's un-American, and it's unconstitutional.
Even if we don't know what's going on in the weeds, on the surface, it just seems shenanigans. It seems shady.
Totally.
It does. Now, the county responded. I see here in the B that Magsig had not yet publicly declared if he will seek re-election. Therefore, there's no actual controversy involving Supervisor Magsig. But the moment that he does announce publicly, then I guess you go back to the county and go, now that he has, is there, right?
That's a public information officer who is not a lawyer defending incumbents. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And the fact is, if those two board members recuse themselves as they should have done. Magzig should have done it too, because he's in the same election cycle we all are.
But she stepped in it. This Dostey,
yes.
Dostey, because there's no controversy because he hasn't declared. So
it's
that
absurd.
Statement says that, well, once he declares, then there might be a controversy.
Listen, he already has declared. You know how he's declared? He's already filed papers saying Magzig for Supervisor 2024. Those are on file at the county. He's already done it. You don't have to officially say, hey, everybody, I'm running. He filed the paper. So she doesn't know what she's talking about, but she's defending them. She's part of the income protection scheme.
Now, the state of California allowed counties and municipalities, right, to go ahead and make this kind of ruling like the county made in 2020.
You can make your own limits.
Uh-huh. So that kind of, did that go under the radar then? Did you remember hearing in 2020 when they voted this in to...
They made a limit of $30,000. Okay. They had nothing. They had no limit at one point.
That seems, they did. No limit.
No limit. See, this is the deal. These guys get paid $140,000 of taxpayer money. They never have to take a vote on their salary increases, and they get them every year. You know why? Because they tie them to judges' salaries. So every year, these guys get raises.
That, yeah.
They have $140,000 salary. You want to know what the guy who runs, they call him the chairman, the guy who runs the meeting gets additionally beyond his $140,000? He gets $18,000 more a year to run a meeting that goes 3 to 4 hours. It's an outrage what they do over there. They have a budget. It's $4 billion. Ours is over $1 billion at the city. We spend a month having department heads come every day, meet with us, and publicly we hold hearings. It takes us a month to pass a budget. They pass their $4 billion budget in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Because they have staff do all the work, and then they come out and press a button. Listen, change is coming to the county. I'm bringing change to the county. I'm bringing accountability. And I'm going to continue to be a voice for the people that I represent, which they're not getting now and haven't had for 4 years since Brandow's been there.
I see Chavez, $110,000. You got a lot more to transfer over, right?
Yes,
$228,000. Now, let's just say here that this judge comes back and they win and you can't transfer that over. You could turn that around and say, I won with one arm tied behind. This could backfire. It really could.
It will backfire. It will already backfire. When people understand how these guys are misusing taxpayer money and stealing it from them providing critical services, it's about as corrupt as a process you can get. This is nothing more than an incumbent protection scheme. It's outrageous. But these county guys have been used to having no accountability. The press and the media ignore them. So they do this kind of stuff. And then when they're ignored, you know what happens? We find foster kids sleeping on floors, people who can't get mental health services who need it. The critical services that need to be provided are ignored because the media ignores them. So they're, you know, fat, dumb, and lazy, so to speak, to take a phrase.
And it's a board of supervisors that laid down and let Newsom steamroll them.
Total. And they had Dr. Rice Vora, their medical director, all during the pandemic, just be a talking puppet for all Gavin Newsom talking points, which was outrageous. I called him out, but you know who didn't? Steve Brandow didn't call him out. You know who didn't stand up for the kids in school to get the schools open and the churches and the business? Steve Brandow. Steve Brandow sat on his hands the whole time, refused to open his mouth, and I invited him to every press conference we did, every rally we did, and he refused to speak up. He never did. Go back and look at the record. The only one fighting for the people was Gary Bredefeld, and you know that better than anybody.
My in-studio guest, Fresno City Councilman Gary Bredefeld. More next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
We got too much rain in California, and City Councilman Bredefeld, Councilmember Arias, Councilmember Chavez, and the Fresno Bee agree. What's going on, man?
Now we get more rain.
We'll get more rain and more agreement on this opinion here. And even the Fresno Bee here in their opinion said Fresno County rule on election monies really is a protection plan for supervisors. I hope they just drop the lawsuit and realize that's a lose-lose for them because it doesn't make them look like they're playing fair whatsoever.
I don't think they will. Chavez thinks they will. I don't think they will. I think they've kind of crossed the bridge and they're going to go forward with this. But this will backfire on them politically. It'll backfire on them legally. And the sad thing is the taxpayers are funding this because of their disgusting move.
I'm sure that city councilman Brandel took his city council war chest to his county supervisor campaign.
Of course he did.
He did what you want to do.
Exactly. And what everybody does who's runs for other offices as long as the new office meets the campaign limits.
When Paul Ryan was no longer the speaker, I remember he was handing out money from his campaign war chest. I mean, everybody has these. They don't spend. Now it's $228,000. Is that enough these days to run for sure?
No, we're going to raise more. Absolutely. I don't know. You know, Brandel. You know, he's an incumbent. He has some of the incumbent protections where
people. Do you know what his pay? What his
he had $170,000. We had more than him. But you know, he's got a lot of friends, a lot of rich friends, and they like to donate $25,000-$30,000. That makes up a lot.
Well, I tell you, this is my thing. If for some reason the judge, I don't see a judge ruling against you guys, but you never know because it was in 2020 they put this in. But I think it might backfire. I mean, you might have to get out and fundraise some more, but I think people would give money out of spite. You might end up with more by losing the judge's decision.
Well, true.
I don't know how long it takes to accumulate $228,000. That takes a while.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Work hard to try to raise money. You have to.
Because the limits are...
It's an unfortunate part of campaigning. You have to raise money in order to get the message that you want to get out.
Why are you running for supervisor and not running to Texas?
Well, the fact is I've been here 40 years, except for 3 years of that I was in the military. I went and served this nation. And my life's been about service, as you know, Trevor. I mean, I've been a clinical psychologist helping people, and I've always felt in politics you can help people in a larger scale, which you can if you have the right people in there.
You miss doing that? Some days?
It was something that I did. I loved it, but it's time to move on in another part of my life. And when I'm done with politics, I'll move on to another phase in my life. But right now, I still have the passion and the burning to serve and to help people. And I think I bring a lot to the table. I think I've proved over 6 years that I'm a guy in this time of need where we have radicals and leftists and people who want to cancel people and all kinds of woke culture and things that hurt children with drag shows and CRT and all the things. You have to have leaders that stand up and speak out. And they're few and far between. I've said this many times, 98% of politicians on both sides, left and right, are feckless cowards. And we need people who are not going to back down and stand up. That's who I am. And that's very different than the guy I'm running against.
Now, you have long relationships with a lot of these gentlemen that are on the County Board of Supervisors. Sure. Were you surprised? I was, and I've been vocal, and we've had this conversation, but let's have it again. At the start of the man-made lockdown with Newsom, I felt pretty secure here that they wouldn't let it go too far with restriction on life, because I thought we had some Republicans in this county that kind of had us surrounded here from Sacramento and wouldn't let it get to even the point, but it went way beyond anything we thought they would let it go to, because you were saying it's going to affect our businesses, it's going to affect our kids, and I thought they were along the same political lines as you, and they would act and defend us the same way, and they didn't.
No, they didn't, and that was a real call to arms for people to say, hey, as political leaders, you need to stand up and speak out. And it wasn't from lack of my speaking to Brandow to say, look, I'm doing a press conference, we're doing rallies, we're speaking out. He didn't do that. I must have had four or five rallies. I must have had five or six press conferences. I was on social media calling these things out. All the tyranny, all the authoritarianism, the destruction that was taking place with kids where they locked them out for over 2 years. Newsom just ended his emergency order February 28th. This is 3 years. 3 years. And you had a medical director that they are ultimately responsible for because the CAO works for them. And they could have told the CAO, rein this guy in because he's putting out bogus information that Newsom is. None of them did. They were silent. Silent. So I stood by myself. It's okay. I'm a big boy. I know how to take care of myself and fight. But it would have been nice to have other people who, if you believed in the same thing, that you stood up and fight. And the fact that they were silent, they were complicit. So they were complicit with all of the destruction, all of the lockdowns, and Brandow must be held accountable. He will in this election. And I think people are going to say, you know what? I want Gary Bredefeld to represent me because I know he's going to be a voice for me, and he will not back down. He will fight. Even when bad things are going on, like government is clamping down on our freedoms and our rights, which we've never seen before. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say if there's a pandemic or a virus, you lose all your rights. And that's what took place.
And those that stood up, whether it were churches down in Southern California or Assemblyman Kevin Kiley in Northern California, we won in court.
Absolutely.
The parents that were Republican and Democrats in San Diego, the No Mask Coalition of parents,
absolutely,
they won in court.
Absolutely.
And isn't it something how everything that they ridiculed you, myself, and others that didn't agree with them is now being...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Knocked off the table one by one as they were wrong.
And you know what? People are very angry now because they're learning how much they were lied to when they talked about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine was no good. Natural immunity was no good. No, you needed to take the vaccine and you needed to take another vaccine and a booster and a double booster. And now they're telling little children should take vaccines and boosters. And it's all a bunch of crap. The bottom line is that's an experimental drug. And we don't know the implications, and we're finding out young people are getting myocarditis with this and all kinds of other things. And we knew. It was obvious. You had to have just half a brain to understand that locking children out of school for 2 years was going to be destructive to them for many years to come. And yet, you had the Fresno Unified Superintendent who was silent, going along with it.
Well, don't
and
you had others. The ukulele man.
Yeah, ukulele man playing the ukulele while Rome was burning. I called him out. I called out the unions. But you know who didn't? Steve Brandow. Steve Brandow was quiet. Steve Brandow was quiet.
And many of other ones were as well.
People aren't regulated.
Yeah, they tried to regulate people and people didn't want to be regulated.
That's right.
Do you already have the supervisor website up?
Oh, we're getting it up. It'll eventually be GaryBredefeld.com. It's not up yet. It's getting up. It's being worked on right now. And we're getting everything together. And we're going to work hard and earn this. And that's what you have to do when you run. Steve Brandow thinks because his derriere is warming the seat that somehow he's owed that seat. No, no, you got to earn it. You got to have people trust you to represent them. And I think when people see the difference between my leadership and his lack of leadership, I think they're going to be very supportive of our efforts to become their next county supervisor.
Can you hit three there on your phone that transfers funds?
Oh, it does?
Yeah, just hit three right. Okay, good.
Got it.
Thank you.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I just cannot wait until the time change happens where it'll be 6:37 right now. That's on the 11th, right? I think March 11th, if I'm recalling correctly, the time change coming up here, March 11th. Yeah, it's if it was a Monday, we'd check it to make sure I'm giving out correct information, but it's a Friday, so I'm gonna act like Attorney General Merrick Garland and go, I think it's on the 11th. A week from tomorrow, so there you go. Yeah, we spring forward. I'm so happy. It'll be lighter after work, right? Now, I talked about this last week, and it's a subject that I've never had to deal with in my life until I had a friend here in Fresno. He used to work here. He doesn't anymore, but still my friend, and he had to have a lung transplant, and he's healthy now. It took, but what? I mean... the ups and downs of that, of thinking, okay, we got a donor, no, we don't. Got a donor, no, you don't. And it has to all match, and there's so many people on a list. up there. Hey, listen to this, how hard this battle was. He was on a list for his transplant, and on the way up there, they got in a car wreck, and he broke his leg and then had to be knocked way back down the list. I mean, my word, the Lord stepped into this man's life, and so glad that he did. But, anything now, organ donation, I see. And my whole life, I've always been on my driver's license. Hey, yeah, you take it. I don't want the worms to eat it. I don't understand that. Now, I know we have set this thing in society where, of course, people with their religious views, and they can decide how they want to dispose of their body. I know California lets us do compostable bodies, right? But it just seems like, to me, like dying with the cure to cancer written down in your pocket, and you're not going to show it to anybody, and you've demanded that you be buried with the cure that could save people. It's like, well, that's mine, and I'm going to be buried with it. I don't understand it, why anybody wants to feel like they're hanging on to something. You're not. You're gone. It's just a shell, and if you have an organ that could help somebody, your eyeballs, your heart, all that. Come on. Give it up. Make sure. Become an organ donor is what I'm saying. Now, last week it was a question of whether inmates should get time off their sentence for donating an organ. That was a controversial subject, but I saw this new one here. This doctor had talked about endorsing the idea of suicide through organ donation. Instead of just suiciding yourself, you would say, hey, I don't want to live anymore. I want to commit suicide, but I don't want to waste my organs. So I'm going to come in and commit suicide, but I want to give my organs to somebody. Now, if you were on an organ donation list, you'd probably be like, yeah, let's pass that law. I mean, if they're going to do it, might as well. But then again, see, I get to the point of, if you have somebody that's sitting in your office, I know the suicide laws now have been way watered down in the blue states, where a lot of people can just go ahead and do it. I know Oregon's just thriving on it, right? You know, people that have, they say that have cancer and don't know they're going to die next week, they can go ahead and do whatever they want to do, and the state will go along with that. And that's unethical, in my opinion. Now, I would think that suicide through organ donation would also be unethical. But if I were on the list, if you were on the list, because it's such a life-saving gift, right? Okay, so anyhow, to keep the organs healthy, they would need to, for the individual donating it, to make sure they're truly deceased, I would say, yes, indeed, because you do have people, oh, they committed suicide, and look, they left a note, here's the healthy organ, you got gangs, all those fears, you know, what was that when they would say, when you'd meet a woman at a bar, you'd go back to a hotel, they would drug you, you'd wake up in a hotel with ice and written on the mirror that we took one of your kidneys or something, remember that thing that was going around? They're saying that healthy people that want to donate an essential organ, like a heart, for example, to save the life of others should be allowed to do so. They say, even at the cost of their own lives. That was an article in Psychology Today, allowing somebody to choose to commit suicide for organ donation. They said that would lead to better organ viability. Now, organ donation, that has to be freely chosen. That's good, but I don't want people dying and donating. I don't know. It doesn't seem right. Like dying with the cure for cancer in your pocket. I just don't know why people won't go ahead and do this, the organ donations, because the list is so long. And most people that are actually waiting for them don't get them. And it's such a shame that we shouldn't have that, because so many people are buried with it. Well, since I brought up suicide here, I've had this story this week here. I don't know how many people are familiar with the Clinton body count. Anybody looked at that online and done a little researching on that? What the Clinton body count, this became famous, I think, when the internet became famous. I think this was the first person, one of the first 100 people to put something on the World Wide Web was the Clinton body count. I think that's one of the most first fascinating things I remember finding online was the Clinton body count. And man, there's a lot of people associated with them. Now, when you are a famous person, when you were a governor of a state, when you were president of the United States, when your wife was Secretary of State and a senator. You have a wide circle of people that you can say were associated with that individual, right? They could tie it together with that many people when you're that big of a public person. But boy, the Clinton body count. It's a scary thing to read. It really is. The Arkansas state troopers that were Governor Clinton's bodyguards and saw the Jennifer Flowers and all the shenanigans that went on there with his hanky-panky. And just how many of them just end up dead in the strangest of ways. You know, a former Clinton aide with ties to Jeffrey Epstein was found hanging from a tree by the neck with a shotgun blast to the chest, and they ruled it a suicide. Hanging from a tree and a shotgun blast to the chest. Think of a shotgun and think of how difficult that would. Now, if it was a sawed-off shotgun, it might be a little easier. But if you hung yourself from a tree with a rope, how would you shoot yourself? And then if you shot yourself, how would you hang yourself? I guess you would have to do it at the exact same time. I don't know. Forensic Files would buy that one. 59-year-old Mark Middleton, he was an aide to Bill Clinton in the 90s, personally signed Jeffrey Epstein into the White House 7 of the 17 times that pedophile Epstein visited bad boy Billy. Okay, 7 out of 17 times. Here, Mr. Epstein, come on in here with Billy. He probably saw some stuff. 59-year-old Mark Middleton that was found hanging from a tree by the neck with a shotgun blast to the chest, reported to have flown on Epstein's Lolita Express private airplane. Another thing about this, he died last year. This was last year, a shotgun wound to his chest. His body was found hanging by that tree. They could not locate a firearm in the vicinity. And this was back May 2nd, 2022. The murder had been ruled a suicide, but they had not located a firearm. Well, New York Post said a shotgun was discovered near the body of the former Clinton aide, despite initial reports to the contrary, officials said this week. So a whole year went by. Now they're coming out and saying, oh, there was a weapon close to the body. It gets even harder to believe here on this one. The additional papers written by the sergeant detailed the links that the 59-year-old went to make sure his suicide attempt was successful. He stood on a bench. He tied an electrical cord around his neck before shooting himself in the chest. It's believed he pulled the trigger on the firearm casing to discharge and hit him in the chest. Then he fell from the bench, causing the extension cord to become tight, cutting off his breathing. Who goes through all of that? If you're going to shoot yourself in the chest, you're pretty much with a shotgun blast, you're dead. According to the report seen by the Daily Mail, the deputies found a gun case and 3 rounds of buckshot in his car before they came upon the body. They said 3 boxes. The original report said 3 boxes of shells were found, not 3 rounds. But the report states officer determined the gun was flung away from his body due to the recoil and angle off the ground. So the recoil from a gun causes it to fling 30 feet away from the body. If this was some random guy, this would look suspicious, right? You know what this sounds like? That sounds like the JFK magic bullet. Yeah, the bullet that changes in mid-flight and then re-enters Conley's body and then comes out and Yeah, right.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I find this utterly staggering here. Justice Department probably had spies in the Catholic Church. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri got into an exchange with the Gestapo guy, Merrick Garland, at that committee hearing that they had. And he really wanted to go find out if the guy behind you in the pew, you know, could be sitting there taking notes down, right? Let's listen to this. And this is, guys, this is scary because the answer that Attorney General Merrick Garland, at the start, he's really acting like, oh, I'm with you, Senator, that's horrible. But listen at the end when he directly asked, do you have spies in the Catholic Church? How many? The Attorney General of the United States of America, under the Constitution of the United States of America, his answer should have been zero. And the fact that it wasn't zero says we got issues.
I notice a pattern, though. The FBI field office in Richmond, on the 23rd of January of this year, issued a memorandum in which they advocated for, and I quote, the exploration of new avenues for tripwire and source development against traditionalist Catholics, it's their language, including those who favor the Latin Mass. Attorney General, are you cultivating sources and spies in Latin Mass parishes and other Catholic parishes around the country?
No, the Justice Department does not do that. It does not do investigations based on religion. I saw the document you have.
What did you do about
it? Appalling. It's appalling. I'm in complete agreement with you. I understand that the FBI has withdrawn it, and it's now looking into how this could ever have happened.
How did it happen?
That's what they're looking into. But I'm totally in agreement with you. That document is appalling.
I'll tell you how it happened. This memorandum, which is supposed to be intelligent, cites extensively the Southern Poverty Law Center, which goes on to identify all of these different Catholics as being part of hate groups. Is this how the FBI, under your direction and leadership, is this how they do their intelligence work? They look at left-wing advocacy groups to target Catholics? Is this what's going on? I mean, clearly it is. How is this happening?
Yeah. He is so weak. Attorney General Merrick Garland, he's stuttering. He knows he's under oath here.
The FBI is not targeting Catholics. And as I've said, this is an inappropriate memorandum, and it doesn't reflect the methods that the FBI is supposed to be using. It should not be relying on any single organization without doing its own work.
Let me just ask you, as my time expires here, a very direct question. How many informants do you have in Catholic churches across America?
I don't know, and I don't believe we have any informants aimed at Catholic churches. We have a rule against investigations based on First Amendment.
Yeah, it's called the First Amendment, Attorney General. Your answer should have been zero. But notice under oath he says, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't
believe we have any informants aimed at Catholic
believe.
Churches.
See, that gets
we have
him out.
A rule against investigations based on First Amendment activity, and Catholic churches are obviously First Amendment activity.
Well,
but I don't know the specific answer to
it. You don't know the specifics of anything, it seems, but apparently on your watch, this Justice Department is targeting Catholics, targeting people of faith, specifically for their faith views.
Way to go, Senator Josh Hawley. I thought he was going to go into a think about what you think about.
Think about what you think about.
That's right. That's what we needed right there. This is amazing to me as well, and I'm going to play just a little bit snippet of this. You know, the revival with Asbury, that the church going on there. I'm thinking God's moving on people, and there's no more evidence here than the mayor of the biggest city in the biggest country, most powerful country in the world. Well, we used to be United States. The mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, a Democrat. Now, he came from the police department, so we know he's got some scruples. But, boy, he is, I don't know if this is a conversion or no. If I went back and listened to some other maybe campaign speeches, maybe he spoke like this. But I have to say it's somewhat moving.
We are destroying our next generation. Destroying them. And we say over and over again, we need to build a world that's better for our children. No, we need to build children that's better for our world. And we have to be honest about that. And it means instilling in them some level of faith and belief. Ingrid was so right. Don't tell me about no separation of church and state. State is the body, church is the heart. You take the heart out of the body dies.
Amen.
I can't separate my belief because I'm an elected official.
Amen.
When I walk with God. When I talk with God. When I put policies in place, I put them in with a God-like approach to them. That's who I am. And I was that when I was that third grader, and I'm going to be that when I leave government. I am still a child of God and will always be a child of God, and I want to apologize about being a child of God. It is not going to happen.
That's an applause line.
Right? That's a revival in New York City. He needs to go out in Times Square with a bullhorn and say that right there. He needs to go around to all the schools in New York City and say that right there. He also said when we took the prayer out of school, the guns came in the school. Thanks to Fresno City Councilman Gary Bredefeld, current county supervisor candidate Gary Bredefeld coming in. The transferring of the campaign war chest money. We'll see how all that works out. Thanks to Agent Squire. God willing, we'll be back Monday, 3 o'clock. John Girardi, he's coming up next. Good night.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.